on Racing HQ.
Racing HQ.
Racing HQ. Here's
On the Pace.
Smolder lifting too strong. Smolder. The Kiwi has won the End of the Dominion.
But it is all Lazarus clear of Tiger Tara. And once again, Lazarus has arisen.
It's 27 of 11, and before he heads off, I think, to Canada for the World Driving Championships, it might be. I'm not sure the exact reason, but Greg Hayes joins us from the Pace. Morning, Hayes.
Correct, Sean, yes. Fly out next week. So yeah. Jason Bonington will take over the show while I'm away, but I'll be joining Andrew and yourself while I'm in Canada to update us, everyone, how the Aussie is going. Shane Graham representing Australia. There's also the defending champs, Dexter Dunn from New Zealand. We'll try and catch up with him on the show today. But he's obviously going to be competing, and obviously Mark Purden representing New Zealand as well. So plenty of down under interest in that World Driving Championships coming up in Canada, and that gets underway on Sunday week. Big show coming up today. We're going to speak with Rod Woodhouse first up this morning. He is the boss of Yerribee Stud, and he got some tragic news on the weekend with the passing of Courage Under Fire. He'd been purchased by Yerribee Stud to stand there this year, and it was going to be a real boost in the arm for breeding in the state of New South Wales. He was a rising 22-year-old. He, of course, is the father of Smolder, who only recently retired himself. It was something that New South Wales needed, a high-profile, proven sire standing at stud. And unfortunately, that has all been curtailed with his passing on the weekend. So I thought we'd catch up with Rod and have a chat about Courage Under Fire. Also want to speak with Michael Guerin this morning from New Zealand. Obviously, when Mighty Mouse was at his peak and was attracting people to the racetracks, Mick was right amongst it. Spent a lot of time with Bruce Negus, and I thought we'd catch up this morning with Mick just to have a chat about the imprint that Courage Under Fire has left on the harness racing scene. Also today, want to speak with Dexter Dunn, as mentioned, the fact that he will represent New Zealand. He is the defending champ in the World Driving Champs, and the defending champ gets invited back each and every year to compete, or each and every series. It's held every 2 years, and that is why Dexter and, there's two New Zealand representatives, so we'll catch up with him. Damien McKelvey's going to join me as well. He trained a winner at the regional finals of the Breeders' Challenge on the weekend, so we'll speak to him as well. So plenty to look forward to on the show. Might even see if we can speak with Beck Bartley too. She drives San Carlo, who is taking all before it at the moment. But first up on the show, Rod Woodhouse, who is the boss at Yerribee Stud. Pretty heavy heart speaking with Rod this morning. It wouldn't be an easy time, but he's joining us to have a chat. Morning, Rod.
Morning, Greg.
Mate, pretty tough time for everyone at Yerribee Stud with the passing of Courage Under Fire over the weekend.
Yeah, mate, it was something that it's going to take a bit of getting over. We'd only purchased him about 6 weeks ago, but he was just sort of that horse that you just, I don't know, he just had something special about him. You know, it's like you could just walk out in the paddock and just call him, and he'd just come over to you and put his head down. He'd put his head stall on and he'd come in, and, you know, wouldn't take any notice, because we boxed him every night because we were sort of worried about, you know, if something can spook him in a night or something. So he used to come in, and he was always happy to come in. And, the boys, I was actually on my way back from Fiji, and the boys went to feed him Saturday morning, and he was standing there with a broken leg.
So obviously no option but to euthanize the horse. It's obviously a tough time for everyone there at Yerribee, but it's got to put a massive hole in your plans for the future.
Yeah, look, I'm probably the bloke that's dragging my feet the most at the moment. She's my rock, you know, she's bloody fantastic. Roger's doing a great job. Mate, yeah, look, we have got some frozen semen that is probably going to soften the blow financially a little bit. But, I've got to sort that out with the uni, and that's just how we do that. But, yeah, look, it takes a bit of getting out of bed of a morning, I can tell you.
I believe there was already 70 bookings to him this season.
Yeah, there was, mate. You know, it was he was getting his 4 and 5 a day.
Wow.
He was going to probably end up with more mares than he can handle. You know, we had sort of said we're going to cut him off at 100. He would have ended up, as I said, with a massive book. We had his semen tested. He could do somewhere between 120 and 150. But when you cut off at 100, there's always people that sort of want to get in late. So we sort of thought, well, we'll cut off at 100 and we'll end up at 120. That'll do him, you know.
Does it make you think about the future the future of Yerribee?
I know what you're going to say, mate. And look, you're exactly right. I just, if it wasn't for Di, I'd probably be happy to close the gate. But it's just one of those things, you know.
Very tough time. You would have been a massive fan watching him, 20 years ago, best part of 20 years ago, competing at such a high level.
Yeah, I was, mate. We actually raced against him in the Australian Derby with a little horse that Rob Norgren owned called Waitaki Warrior. And, you wouldn't believe it. He broke his leg in that race and had to be euthanized. We haven't had much luck around him on this race.
Mm. So with Courage, with Courage's passing, how does that leave you looking in terms of stallions for the upcoming season?
Mate, to be honest with you, I haven't even really been able to bring myself to dip down to the business side of it because I've been questioning, you know, what I do, you know. So, I mean, Di's positive. She's, you know, pick yourself up and keep going. But it's, I'm sort of struggling at the moment.
Yeah. Mate, totally understandable. I do thank you very much for coming on the show this morning just to discuss everything that's gone on in the last little bit. Mate, I know the breeding industry will get right behind you guys. It's obviously a very tough time for Yerribee Stud, and we wish you all the best of luck going forward.
Thanks, mate.
There he is, Rod Woodhouse, the boss of Yerribee Stud, and you can understand just what Rod is going through at the moment. We're the 1st of August, middle of June, there was a story in the local Wagga paper that Yerribee Stud had secured Courage Under Fire in a boost to New South Wales breeding ranks. Courtney Rees wrote the story. One of Australia's best on the track, the rising 22-year-old has made a name for himself at stud. Purchased by principal of the Wagga Stud, Yerribee, Rod Woodhouse. His move is expected to be a big boost to the dwindling size in New South Wales. Woodhouse at the time was quoted as saying, "We feel this will be a huge shot in the arm for New South Wales broodmare owners, as it's been a long time since New South Wales has had such a high-profile proven sire standing at stud. And the move would have made his progeny eligible for the additional $3,000 blue bonus, and his progeny would have also been..." Or the brood mares owners would have been eligible for that New South Wales Colonial Stallion rebate. So massive, massive loss to the breeding industry. Want to speak with Michael Guerin this morning. Mick, when this horse was in his heyday, Mick was right amongst it. It was a very, very special time for harness racing. He was one of the few horses that I can think in the last 30 years that has got people back to the track. Galloping in the last little bit, we've had horses like Black Caviar and we've got currently Winx, who just attract people to the races. But this little horse, Courage Under Fire, was one of those few horses that harness racing has had in the last three decades that could get people, non-racing people, to the track. Mick was all a part of that. He was right amongst it, and he's joining me to have a chat. Morning, Mick.
Yeah, morning, Hazy. Big hi to you and all your listeners, and happy new season to all our racing fans. Not for harness racing fans, of course. Their one starts next month, but it's a whole debacle we'll talk about another day, Hazy. It was a remarkable era because a lot of people don't realise Courage Under Fire actually raced against Christian Cullen in Christian Cullen's last ever race. Raced against him, and then Lyle Creek was racing at the same series. So this 2000 Inter-Dominion series at Melton had three of the biggest names in probably the last 50 years racing at the same time. And there's not many of the great legends of New Zealand racing left. Obviously, Sunline has died in recent years. So too has Bone Crusher and now Courage Under Fire. So Lyle Creek and Christian Cullen are probably the other two horses who, you're right, people would say to me, I remember people, for example, like John Hawke, saying to me, oh, what do you make of that little horse he's racing this week? And you capture the imagination of the galloping people. And Hazy, it wasn't just because of his record, because obviously I doubt any other horse is probably going to even contest six derbies, let alone win all six of them. But he was such an unusual horse. I think people are drawn to those unusual horses, the horses with the big white blazers. The horses like Apache Cat, for example, the four white feet, obviously greys like Subby, And most importantly, in Courage Under Fire's case, he was so small that at full speed, Hazy, when you actually saw him, he looked to be running a lot faster than other horses, much in the same way that little footballers seem to be running faster because they have to take so many more strides. And he actually looked like a cartoon character. His little legs were whirring around like something off the Roadrunner. And it was quite funny. He just looked different from other horses because he was so small and so good. And I think people really identified with that.
It was a time, you mentioned those six derbies. A couple of those derby wins were amazing. He just made some very nice horses look absolutely, they were like third and fourth graders. He just demoralised them.
Well, the other thing too, Hayes, is whenever you have a dominant three-year-old, or even like Black Caviar as a dominant sprinter, you always say to yourself, well, are the rest of these any good? And I think Black Caviar was aided slightly by the fact that people think Haylist was a very, very good horse. So you go, okay, well, Haylist was very good, and Cheetah thrashed him. Well, let's not forget, Courage Under Fire routinely, as a three-year-old, thrashed Shaker Maker. Now, Shaker Maker, as a four-year-old, so just 6 months later, came out and won the Inter-Dominion final. And Shaker Maker was a genuinely very, very good horse, maybe even a champion by Victorian standards. And Courage Under Fire, as a three-year-old, absolutely smashed him. Now, he didn't get any better as an older horse, Hazy. He ran second in a Miracle Mile, second in a Victoria Cup, fourth in an Inter-Dominion final. But like a lot of horses these days, with that in-the-pocket Christian Cullen-type breed, the three-year-old version or even mid-four-year-old version is the best version you'll see of them. And I think some people can be disappointed by that, but I think that's the reality in both codes of the breed. What you can't dispel is the fact that people just loved him. There's no rhyme or reason to why people love certain horses. I think there's plenty of great horses like Octagonal and Sunline and some of those horses northerly who people absolutely loved, whereas horses with comparable ability, sometimes people don't warm to. But he was a horse everybody loved. Gentleman of a horse, he was a stallion. He loved kids, which a lot of stallions, you can be a little bit reticent about letting kids near them. He'd put his head down, let them pat him. A gentleman around the park, they used to walk him through the streets of small towns for parades and all sorts of stuff, and he just loved it. Famous story I wrote about this week after Courage Under Fire passed away. Brian Hancock went training, and Brian's six-year-old granddaughter went missing one day on the farm. And they're like, where is she? They found her in the paddock with Courage Under Fire, and he's nuzzling into her. That's when he was a seven-year-old stallion. So while that would strike fear into the hearts of most people, they knew the great old horse was going to look after her. So amazing horse. As I said, Hazy, maybe the most indistinguishable thing, the X factor in my career has been those horses who people just absolutely love, and Courage Under Fire was one of those.
What about his first trainer, the Kiwi, Bruce Negus? It was a great ride for him, but obviously to lose the horse mid-career, he's got a special story too. He actually found his wife through being the trainer of Courage Under Fire.
It was funny. Bruce is a very much a knock-around South Island type of a guy, and when you think of those people, think of people who live in, you know, the outskirts and the more rural areas of New South Wales. No one had heard of Bruce Negus much, to be honest. He gets the horse. The horse is an absolute freak. Obviously, he's in newspapers and leading the news and on the back page of the paper and all sorts of crazy stuff. He's going to parades. Someone then said to him, would you come to the Otago Sports Awards to talk about what it's like to train Courage Under Fire? Bruce was very giving of his time, as a lot of those small-time trainers tend to be when they get a champion horse. And, well, you know, he ends up going to it, meets a woman called Colleen, who's a horse person. He's now been married to Colleen for the last 15 years. So, as Bruce said, the little horse did far more for me than I can ever imagine. Changed his training career too. Obviously, he trained good horses after him, like Sly Flying, for Greg Brody, the Queenslander who owned Courage Under Fire. But you do think about some of those great horses, like the Takeover Targets and those little horses, Hazy, and where they take people to in their lives, like places like Royal Ascot, places they would never have gone to before. Well, in Bruce Negus' case, that was the absolute biggest favour a horse can do you. Bruce and Colleen still happily married after all these years.
Mate, thank you very much for joining us this morning to have a chat about Courage Under Fire. Big loss to the harness racing industry, obviously, in his role as a stallion and especially in New South Wales. But, mate, thank you for joining us to chat about old times.
Always a pleasure, Hazy. Have a good day, mate.
And there he is, Michael Guerin from New Zealand, to have a chat about Courage Under Fire and just what he was like back in the heyday. Yeah, six derbies, competed in six and won six. We're going back so many years now, and it was a time, around that time, that I just made the move to Sydney after growing up in Canberra, and obviously was very much into my harness racing, and he was just an absolute rock star, and to see the amount of people that he could draw through the gate was mind-blowing, and I know there would be administrators today who would love to see the second coming of Carriage Under Fire because it just makes their job so much easier. Plenty of other things happening in harness racing at the moment. Obviously, I was in South Australia on Saturday night for their Southern Cross Finals, which is effectively their Breeders' Challenge Series. Interesting to see that it was a real night for the women. Plenty of the girls standing up. Obviously, Emma Stewart training winners, Nicole Melander, Jill Nielsen, Megan G driving one of the winners as well. So congratulations to all of the girls who were starring at Globe Derby on Saturday night. Also want to chat with another female this morning on the show, Beck Bartley, who is the driver of this star. He's untapped, San Carlo. He added another victory to his long list of victories on Saturday night at Shepparton, and it was a $10,000 race. He's obviously only been defeated twice in his career, and his first defeat came in August of last year. That was at Melton. He ran sixth behind Hector JJ, and his only other defeat came in May of this year when he ran third behind Major Dan. Thought we'd have a chat to Beck and just find out a little bit more about this up-and-coming star, San Carlo. Morning, Beck.
Morning.
Mate, tell us a little bit about this horse. He looks untapped and looks to be on that that rising pedestal up towards the top level.
Yeah, no, he's really showed what ability he has in his runs, and we'll start stepping him up now to better class horses and start putting him in the better races.
He won on Saturday night in 156.3, but it was the way he put them away. 20 metres, the winning margin, 29.5, 27.8, the last two quarters. The second quarter was a 28.5 second quarter as well. What sort of feel does he give when you're driving him?
He just does it so easy. I didn't actually think we were going that quick. The last quarter was 27.7 or something, and yeah, he just didn't know he was doing it.
And he's been on the scene for about 2 years. He hasn't been over raced. There's been a few little niggling issues, but was there always a huge opinion of the horse when he's been in the stable?
No, there wasn't. Definitely not early. Anyway, he was real immature as a young horse, and I remember taking him to the trials a few times, and he just kept galloping. So we just ended up putting him out, and then we brought him back in, and he, from then on, he was just changed horse and kept getting better and better.
What would you say his biggest attribute is? Is it his high speed? Is it his ability to stay when he starts racing these top line horses? What do you think we're going to see the best of him? What's he going to be his best attribute?
I think just how strong he is and how he can stay in his races. He just seems to be so tough, and you know, all his races he's been in, he's never got to a line and been tired. He's sort of just held that speed. But no, yeah, I think, you know, we sort of don't really rely on his speed that much. We just more rely on how tough he is.
And are there races that Steve's looking at going forward? Are you looking at a race like the Victoria Cup or in October, Inter Dominions? What's the long-term plans with him?
I think long-term definitely is Inter Dominion and Victoria Cup, but he's still got a couple of more races here in Victoria. But, yeah, definitely long-term goal is Inter Dominion.
And has the little niggles that he's had, and we didn't see him between December and April, and then I think between May and November last year, he was off the scene as well. Is there anything major wrong, or is it just he's just a horse that you've just taken care of?
No, we've just taken care. Like, he's had just little issues, but nothing has ever been major wrong with him. Just that he's so immature in his body. We've just really taken our time with him, and those breaks have done him really well. He's really built up now, and he's still got a little bit of improvement in his body to do. But, yeah, there's nothing major wrong with him. We've just taken care of him and just taken our time.
All right. When do we see him next?
He's in Friday night at Melton.
Yep.
That's a heat, and then the following week's the final, so right. he'll go around there. And then I think there's one, a Breeders' Crown race in a couple of weeks' time. That's it. That's his next biggest challenge.
Do you feel any more pressure because you're driving a horse that's had 17 starts and he's won 15? Is there any more pressure on the driver?
I guess there is from the public view, but there's definitely no pressure from the owners or Steve here. We're just enjoying the ride with him, and we're just enjoying it. It's, you know, it's a dream come true to have a horse like him come through your stable, and it's just we're gonna have good fun with him.
Well, you've done a fantastic job with him so far, and really looking forward to seeing just how far he'll go. We'll see him this weekend. We'll see him the following weekend in the final, and then of course can look forward to the Breeders' Crown as well. Thanks for joining me this morning, Beck.
No worries, thank you.
There she is, Beck Bartley. She is the driver of San Carlo, the son of Mac 3, who has had the 17 starts and he's won 15 of them. He had his first race start back in June of 2015. He won that race by 10 metres and got home in sub 28 seconds. And he then went to Shepparton, he won there. And as I mentioned, his two defeats, one came at Melton back on the Breeders' Crown four-year-old final. That was back in 2015. He chased home Hector JJ. My General Lee was in that race. Mussini, Field Major. Major Crocker was in that race. Let Us Rock Them was in that race. Saloon Passage, a horse that went round in the free-for-all grade at Menangle on Saturday night. Those sorts of horses. So that was his first defeat. And then we didn't see him again until April of 2016. His most recent defeat and only other defeat came in May of this year when he ran third behind Major Dan and Stagger Lee. He was a short price favourite and that was only beaten narrowly. Want to have a chat with Dexter Dunn this morning. He is the defending champ at the World Driving Championships. He's going to get another chance to represent New Zealand in Canada coming up in a couple of weeks' time. And he's joining me on the show. Morning, Dex.
Yeah, morning, Hazy.
Mate, looking forward to defending your title and representing your country again?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. I've been lucky enough to be my third World Drivers' Championship, and my previous two experiences have been something that you sort of remember for life. So you meet great people and you get to travel around countries you haven't been before, like Canada for me this year. So, no, really looking forward to it, mate.
What do you do? Obviously, you've driven in two previous. How much research, how much study can you do before you turn up for a World Driving Championships, or have you just got to turn up and let it happen?
You can't do probably too much study as far as horses-wise, but, you watch the replays from the tracks you're going to be driving at and either try and figure out the race pattern, I guess, for that certain track, but... You know, and then once the fields come out, I mean, obviously, it's pretty hard to follow the Canadian or the American form because it's completely different the way we print it at home. But probably lucky enough to spend those 3 months in America a few years ago to sort of understand it. And, just really read through the form there and do our best. But it is pretty hard being in a country, driving a country on the other side of the world that, it will be, but make it a bit harder.
Does it make it any easier, the fact that Mark Purden will be there and Shane Graham will be there and obviously those guys reasonably well?
Definitely make it harder, mate. They're fantastic drivers. Very competitive, obviously. I've raced against Shane quite a few times in Brisbane, but obviously racing Mark at home, he just gets those horses to run, really, really well. So, it's going to be hard, but, I mean, that's probably what you want to expect, for a world champ. So it makes the contest that much better. And, you can't be being out there with competitive drivers and having good, clean races as well. So, it'll be good.
What about your season? Obviously, the new season starts in New Zealand today, but the season just gone. Pretty special one for you, and you also got the chance to bring up your 2000th winner.
Yeah, man, I had a good season. I sort of missed the first month from taking a bit of a holiday, and then I got back home and sort of got into it. And I just had probably had a good run. It was probably a bit slow to start off with and stuff like that. But it turned out to be a really good season. And probably wasn't really expecting. I think when I got 220 there quite a few years ago, and then I thought I'd beat it. So it was a really good season, mate. And to get my 2000th win at Addington too, with my home track, and to have the old there and my family as well was a pretty special night. So it was a good season, and hopefully we can carry that into Canada.
Any family reps going to Canada to cheer you on?
Yeah, well, Mr. Chairman to America at the moment, my cousin, Tom Bagri, and doing a bit of sightseeing before we get there. So he'll be there flying a flag. And my mum's coming over as well to cheer me on. So she was there in Sydney when I won it. So I keep the good luck running with her being there, flying that New Zealand flag proudly, and hopefully it works.
All right, mate. Well, I'll catch up with you when I get over there. Enjoy the States, and then make sure you do your country proud in Canada.
Yeah, we'll definitely be part of it. Thanks, Hayden.
There is Dexter Dunn, champion Kiwi reinsman, having a little bit of a break after setting records over the ditch, and will be in Canada in a couple of weeks' time to defend his title that he won at the World Driving Championships here in Australia back in 2015. It travels the world, and it's Canada's chance to hold the championships this time around. Want to catch up with Damien McKelvey this morning, because he was the winning trainer of a regional final winner of the Breeders' Challenge on the weekend, Kalara Hustler. Damien's got a really good strike rate, and he's joining me on the show to have a chat about it. Morning, Damien.
G'day, Greg.
Mate, congratulations with the victory of Kalara Hustler on Sunday.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it was nice to finally win a decent race.
You have a lot of the horses with the Kalara prefix. Tell us a little bit about where that comes from.
Yeah, that's just property where Dad is, where we train out of, and it's always hard to think of names for horses, so I just want to chuck Kalara on the front of it, and anything I breed there gets Kalara, and then add some on after it, so that's where it comes from.
Well, Kalara Hustler has had three runs back this time in. He was a winner at Leeton first time at his first run back, and then you took him to Bathurst. He won his heat of the regional final, and then he came out and won the final narrowly. Did you expect him to be a big chance when you were looking at going to Bathurst?
Not really. When we went to Leeton, we thought he's ready to give him a run, and we thought if he went well, we'd take him there, and we blew him away at Leeton. So he's further ahead than I thought. And then, being so lowly assessed, he drew well at Bathurst, and he surprised us a little bit. I didn't think he'd be ready to do that so soon. So it turned out well.
What do you do with him now?
There's a country series heat at Wagga in a couple of weeks. He'll have an easy time until then, and hopefully qualify for the final, and probably just go through our grades around home at this stage.
It's interesting because you're not afraid to send one to the city. I know Kalara Ninja's a mare that you've got with Kerri-Ann Turner and will race on Saturday night at Menangle. So you're happy to keep them at home, but if you think that they deserve to be in the city, you're happy to send them up to a city trainer.
Yeah, definitely. The travel's probably just too much for us to keep taking down the highway. So, Kerri and Robbie do a good job. So, once they get out of grade here, if they're good enough, we send them down there.
And Kalara Ninja has been doing a reasonable job and goes around on Saturday night in race number 6, and will be a chance against the mares. Mate, how many horses are you working?
We've only got about 4 there at the moment. We breed about 4 or 5 each year, so there's never too many in the stable. It's a nice hobby to, when you get a bit of success, it makes it all worthwhile.
And so what do you do away from harness racing to keep yourself busy?
We're farmers, so don't have a lot of spare time. But, do the horses in the morning and do the real work after that.
Well, you definitely get the good results, and you were rewarded with that victory on Sunday. Mate, congratulations with that, and good to catch up with you this morning.
Cheers, Greg.
There is Damien McKelvey, who is the trainer of that very talented 4-year-old that took out the final on Sunday afternoon at Bathurst, the regional final for the 4-year-olds, Kalara Hustler. That just about wraps me up. Sean, I've gone over today, but as mentioned, Jason Bonington will bring you this show for the next few weeks while I head across to Canada. You will hear plenty of me on Sky Sports Radio during that time because I will be phoning in with a number of updates in just how the Aussies and the Kiwis are going in that World Driving Championships. And look forward to speaking to you from the other side of the world, Cozzy.
Good on you. We will look forward to that and have a great time.
Thanks, mate. Talk to you soon.
There we go. Greg Hayes.